Love. Welcome, everyone, to a live show. We're live today. Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Sorry we missed you guys for the last 2 weeks. Thanks for being patient with us. But we got an exciting show today. We're going to be talking to Queen Deanie a little bit later. She's a Staffordshire Terrier from Hart McIntosh, is a rescue group. And we'll find out a little bit more about their organization. If you'd like to talk to Laura, call in at 917-889-2693. That's 917-889-2693. And find us on our chat room. If you go to the Blog Talk Radio, Pet Psychic Radio page, you'll find a little chat section. Come and chat in there, ask questions, talk to your other radio friends, and welcome. Hey, Laura.
Hey there.
Hi.
How have you been?
I've been good. I know we've been away for so long.
I know, it's so good to be back.
I know. It's exciting.
How's that puppy of yours?
Puppy is good. You know, my husband, John, is really awesome with the puppy, and he's been walking her all the time. And yesterday, we have these new neighbor friends, and we took the dog to a play date with a dog named Moses. So Moses and Ripley, like, perfect. They're like the new it couple in the neighborhood.
Oh, how neat is that? Is that that little dog?
No. They're a little further ways down away from me, but they're, Moses is like an 80-pound mutt. Huge dog.
Oh, fun. Yeah. And they can romp and play and just body slam.
Yes, that's exactly what they did.
so good.
But yeah, she ate, so far recently she's chewed up my coffee table while I was away the last 2 weeks. Yeah, she chewed up the coffee table. Like the legs.
Oh my gosh. Like, is the coffee table, like, still in the house?
No, we have to take it out because it's about to, like, teeter over. Like, it looks like a beaver ate a leg.
Oh, no. So what are you going to do? Are you going to separate her from that room? Like, what have you decided?
So we bought a crate so we can crate train her.
Okay.
But she doesn't like the crate. So I don't really know. Maybe you have a suggestion. She won't go in there, and we put food and toys, and she still hates it.
Do you put like a bone marrow bone or something like that in there?
Yeah, we've put bones in there. She goes in there and takes it out.
Like real bones?
Yeah.
Put her in there and close the door.
It's okay that she's like upset if we close the door?
Well, I think so a little bit. I mean, to see if she's settled. I mean, she's a smart little dog. She'll probably settle.
Okay.
Just put her in there and close the door. And yeah, I mean, unless they're like, when they get in there, they start panting and they're like highly stressed, then you have to do it a little bit slower. But sometimes, you know, just throwing them in there is the best thing, and closing the door and giving them a bone. And once they realize they're not coming out, they just start chewing. So you can kind of sit through a little bit of not feeling so great.
I see. Okay, that's good to know, because I know we've just been feeling bad if we put her in there because she's crying and stuff.
Yeah, and then when she's settled in there a little bit and she starts to chew on her bone, or like you could put peanut butter in a Kong, then you open up the crate when she's settled, when she's not looking like she wants to come out.
Oh, I see. Perfect. See, I didn't know this part. So we were kind of confused.
So you don't want to wait until she's, like, stressed again until you let her out. You want to let her out at a good time.
I see.
Like this morning, Luca's been doing this thing, like, he sleeps in his crate at night, and it's, like, the size for, like, a Great Dane, and he's, like, teeny in it. But the top comes off, and so he will jump up, and he'll start to bay like a beagle. And he'll, like, and he's a poodle, you know? And he's like, I'm like, I'm not waking up, you know? I'm like, I'm not going to let you out when you're doing that. You have to go back to bed. And so then I have to wait, even though, like, I know you know, he could get out. It's like the time where he could get out of his crate. I have to wait until he gets back down and gets settled again. Then I let him out. But there's a difference between having to go out to go to the bathroom and, like, annoyance begging because he's just saying, hey, I want to run around now.
I see. Okay. That's such good information to know because we weren't sure how to do it. And what we've been doing is putting her in the backyard.
And she's fine in the backyard, right?
Yeah, she's fine in the backyard, but I know sometimes it's hot and I feel like it'd be nicer to be inside where
there's
where there's air and air conditioning.
And then you can also, like, I wonder if she would chew, like, section off a part in your house. Because if you're gone for long periods of time, it might be too much to be in a crate for so long. So, like put a baby gate, but you don't want to eat the kitchen table either, so.
Yeah, that's
kinda
the
like,
problem.
Puppy proof it and then like have a whole like a toy like you could do a toy basket by the kitchen table so that when she goes to the kitchen table she sees the toy basket instead.
Oh right, like at the legs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you know, then you can spray apple cider vinegar or you could spray something on the leg so that it's bad tasting if she does go to taste it.
Okay.
To bite it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what's apple cider vinegar. Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
I have
or
that.
Like you can buy the spray in the like at the pet store. It's like a bitter kind of apple spray.
And does that
I
work?
I remember when I was dog training a lot, and some of the dogs would be like, "Yum!" They would like it.
That's so funny.
I know, or like that kind of like I remember one dog. Like we used it on one dog, and he's like, it tastes like my dad's potato chips, like those salt and vinegar potato chips.
Oh, that's really funny.
I know. Like, didn't work for some of them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But some
like,
people do, like, cayenne pepper they'll put on it. And
that's right. I remember when Ventura was still alive. Ventura's my old Dalmatian, for those of you who don't know me. We used to have this thing called death spray, and it was like cayenne pepper and vinegar and all this gross stuff that was all natural, and I would spray it on things so he wouldn't eat it
exactly.
On the doorway, but he would still eat the doorways.
That's like my parrot used to do that.
I had a question for you, actually. I was thinking about how you can talk. This has nothing to do with pets, so we're going to stray a little bit from the Pet Psychic Show.
Okay.
But I was just curious because I wanted to know more about you. And have you ever had, I know you talk to dead people or spirits or whatever you want to call them. Is dead people, is that like derogatory? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Deceased people, deceased loved ones. I know, sometimes you have to be careful.
Deceased loved ones. have you ever had like a stranger contact you, like someone who is dead?
Oh, someone who is dead?
Yeah.
Like a strange dead person?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Really?
Yeah, like when I was little, there would be like dead people. I would feel dead people all the time around me. Like
what
when I was a teenager, you know, which I think a lot of teenage girls get into it, but I was like obsessed with the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this like unbelievable knowledge of like when people were pushing it and when people weren't. Like I grew up in this lake community and they were like, we'd have like these lake campouts, you know?
Yeah.
And they would be like the camp counselors would be like trying to scare us and like everyone would get freaked out because there was like all these stories about the hauntings of the lake and there's fog rising off the lake. It was kind of a scary place. Like, what are those horror movies were filmed actually on our lake, like Friday the 13th, the horror movies were actually filmed there. So it was like really a scary place. And
yeah.
So the camp counselors would like try and scare us and like say that there was like ghosts on the Ouija board. And I'd be like, there's no ghost. Like I would know like immediately whether there's a ghost there or not.
See, that's awesome because it also works the other way. You can tell when there isn't a ghost.
Yeah, right. But yeah, like I've had some pretty unbelievable experiences. But when I when I started to do the medium work professionally, or started to realize that I could do it for, not even professionally, like charge money for it, but when I started to realize I could do it for my friends and that it was helpful for my friends who have lost people, it opened up a door, and there was, like, there'd be a lot of dead people coming around. And, like, Christmas time, I had to, like, tell a bunch of people, like, no, I'm not going to call your family. Go away from me. Like, I'm with my family today. I'm not going to, like, because people are, like, they know I can hear them, so they're, like, call my daughter and tell her that I'm thinking about her. Call, and if you do it for one, which I actually did do it for one this past Christmas, then it opens
like
the door
stranger?
For
a stranger?
Not a stranger, but, like, people that I've spoken to just briefly. But, yeah, strangers are, yeah, I just tell them to go away. I just tell them, I don't want to talk to you, go away.
Have you seen that show, The Medium?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, that's like you.
Yes, it is, sort of.
Every time I see it, I think of you. I watch that show all the time.
You know what was cool, though, is, like, I've started to talk to babies.
Oh, right.
Is, like, the most amazing thing, to talk to, like, these little, like, infants and toddlers that, like, people don't know why they're crying, or they don't know if, they, like, moms at work all day, like, full-time moms, and they don't know, like, how the baby's doing with the nanny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can talk to them. It's, like, so cool. And they can say, like, if the nanny's good or not.
That's so weird.
Or why they're crying, you know?
It's so cool, and it's so strange.
At the same time. But to me,
yeah,
it's, like, so normal. It's, like,
yeah.
And then the other day I spoke to a woman that was dying, and she wasn't going to wake up. And so I spoke to her. And, you know, and she died the next morning. She's my friend. And she was, like, in a coma. But that was, like, amazing, too, to, like, talk to them and, you know, and see,
yeah,
like, what their experiences is. And I thought, wow, this is actually, like, a whole field that I could actually get into. When I was doing the babies, like, I had this, mm-hmm, like, couple-week stretch where I did, like, 10 babies. And I was,
oh my,
like,
gosh,
oh, my God, I'm going to do babies for, like, a business. So I bought thebabypsychic.com.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to do babypsychicradio.
I know. I was so into it. It sort of
That's
died
weird.
Out a little bit, but
so fun. That's so interesting.
Did I tell you about this one? I know we're totally straying from the pet psychic thing now, but there's this one little baby that said to me, they couldn't understand, like, why he, like, every time he woke up, he would, like, start bawling, crying. Like, he hated to wake up. And he was like, yeah, I remember being a man, and I can't walk and go to work. This is hell, waking up and being a baby.
That's
He's like,
hilarious.
Get me out of this body. What did I get myself into? It's
that
hysterical.
Is so funny. Oh, my
and then,
gosh.
And then, he was a twin, and the other one is like, oh, gosh, tell them just to listen, watch the mobile. There's so many beautiful colors. Like, she was like a totally different personality. She's like, I love being a baby.
That's really funny. That's
I know.
So funny. Well, maybe this is a new thing. We'll see.
I know.
We got Jennifer from Florida. Jennifer, are you there?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking
Hi.
My call.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hello. I had a question about my dog. I actually have I have two questions, if I could do them really quickly. I don't know. You need me to tell you information about my dog first?
Oh, well, first tell me what he looks like and what's his name.
Okay, his name is Magic, and he is half, I think half Schnauzer and half Poodle. He's black and gray, and he has, his eyes look like a raccoon.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And how old is he?
Four and a couple
okay.
months.
Okay. What do you want to know? What do you want to ask him?
He scratches a lot, and I wanted to know if there's something that I could do to help him.
Okay. He says he likes cold water, and behind his ears itch a lot, too. Do you notice that?
Cold water you mean to drink or to
no.
to be bathed in?
He says he wants cold water lying on top of him, so like a cold washcloth.
Oh, okay.
He says he needs that slippery supplement. Do you know what that is?
I don't know. Revolution?
No. Do you give him oils? Because that would be a slippery supplement.
Oh, I haven't, but I've been looking into that, actually. No, I don't give him fish oil or anything.
But you've been looking into it?
I've been studying essential oils and thinking about, I don't know. Maybe that could help.
Let me ask him if that's what he's talking about. Because sometimes, like, if you're thinking about something and you're researching it, they can pick that up from you. And so they know that you're doing that, and then they can kind of tune in to see if that would be good for them. Sometimes they know, like, they're kind of intuitive or psychic about what would be good for them, and sometimes they just say it because you're looking into it, and they think, well, maybe that's the answer.
Okay.
But let me ask if that's – but essential oils, he wouldn't actually be ingesting, right? It wouldn't be a – supplement, right? Would it be something that he smells?
I don't know. I think there's different ways that you could use it. I'm not really sure.
Oh, there are? Because he said supplements, that would make me think that it's something that he takes internally. Yeah, he says, I want the stuff you take internally.
I don't know what that is. Okay.
I'll bet it's like a fish oil he's talking about. And you might have heard from someone that fish oil is good for like dry skin or itching, or for a lot of itchy dogs, people use fish oil.
Oh, okay.
So you might have heard that from someone in passing, or like if your vet had thought it in passing, he could have picked it up.
No one's been able to help us. I spoke to a couple different vets about it. It's been since he's been a baby. He's been scratching like that.
He says the reason why is my food makes me sick.
His food?
It makes me sick when I eat, and I itch worse after I eat. Sometimes the digestion process can make the itching process, like, kick in worse. But what do you feed him?
Oh, Nutromax. It's for sensitive skin.
Junk food.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Really
I thought that
bad
was okay.
Junk food. No, Nutromax used to be considered a good food, and I would call them now, like, the better of the bad, but it's definitely not in the high-quality food range.
Oh.
Like, you want to get him off all wheat and corn. As a general rule, all allergy dogs should be off wheat and corn. And I'd get him on a no-grain diet.
Okay.
You need to find a holistic vet to help you with nutrition. Because if you get him on even on the raw food diet, his itching will probably go away.
What over the counter would be good food?
Like, if you did the raw food, Stella and Chewy's is a really good one. There's Origins, which is a really good dog food. That's, like, the best dog food on the market right now. There's a lot of good dog foods. Like, if you go into a high-quality, all-natural pet store, and they can help you. But I would also search out a good holistic veterinarian and have them help you.
Okay.
Because you want to find out, like, there's different meats that are, like, there are some meats that are cooling and some meats that are hot, and so finding the right ones for your dog's condition, because every skin condition is different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd find a holistic veterinarian to work with you.
So is it not, like, when I give him a bath or a shower or whatever, is that stuff not helping him either?
Helps me, but only for a little while. So it's like at that moment and a little while later, but you're actually feeding, excuse my language, like, seriously, junk food. Like, he's not going to get better on Nutramax.
Okay. I thought that was okay. All right, I'll switch
it.
That's fine. Okay, so cold compresses and then a holistic vet and look into some
kind
of supplement. Okay. All right, is there anything else that he wants to say to me?
He said you should go running up hills more. Do you know what that means?
I don't know. I guess that's with my husband.
Is he a runner?
Well, I think he takes him out for longer walks and for running around. That was my other question, because I was wondering, I know this is a silly question, but I was wondering if he loves me or my husband better.
You can't ask that. That's
I'm
terrible.
Sure. Yeah, well, of course. What would the dog say?
I like them both differently.
Oh, that's a politically correct answer.
Mom's the talker and Dad's the action.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling
Bye.
In, Jennifer.
Bye-bye.
That's funny.
We we got, who do we have next here? Hold on. We got Peter. Are you there? Peter from New Hampshire?
Yes. How you doing?
Hi, Peter.
Hey. We recently lost our 2.5-year-old Scottish Terrier, Barney.
Oh, like lost as in passed away or lost as in ran away?
Yeah, he passed away. The vet initially said he had kennel cough, even though he had the vaccination. And we had to go on vacation, and I just had this feeling like something was terribly wrong. Oh. And the day after we got back, he took a turn and left. So,
what was it? Was it his heart?
It was in his lungs, I guess. They said it was lymphoma.
Oh, and what was his name?
Barney.
Barney, and what did he look like? Did you say he's a Scottish Terrier? Is that what he said?
Yeah, he was a small little 18-pound male, 2.5 or so. So.
Oh, and what color? Are they black?
Black.
Yep. Okay, and so what do you want to know? Like, what do you want to ask him?
Well, first we just want to know if he is holding anything against us, as far as we just felt terribly guilty leaving him when he was sick, and we have this one crazy cat that he used to fight with that's bringing out all of his toys every night. It's the strangest thing, and we were thinking about getting another Scotty, so I just wanted to see if Barney was okay, if he's okay with us getting another dog, or if that cancer was something he was born with, or if it's something we gave him.
Oh, okay. He says, I'm fine in heaven. I was sad they were away, but I wasn't mad. I think I'll come back to them. He said he was sick for a long time because even when he was little, it hurt his lungs a little bit to run.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that it was bad. And he didn't give me anything that was bad.
Okay.
And I wasn't scared when I died. Because when I died, that there was a big dog that came to me that looked like my mom. And I just nuzzled up to her and we floated to heaven. I'm not scared where I am. I can play a lot. The cat feels bad because he secretly liked me. And I think you should get another dog.
Okay.
And is it your wife that you're talking about?
Yes.
Tell my mom she doesn't need to cry. If she cries, it rains here in heaven, and I don't like getting wet.
No, you never was a fan of the rain, so.
It's funny that it was that when she cries, it rains in heaven. So that's just what he's what it sort of means is that you guys are still very connected, and that her sorrow is like makes him sorrowful in heaven.
Yeah,
and it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it's something you both can transform, you know.
Yeah, we still have, like, all this stuff out. So we have moved on from that regard. And we did
tell them they
look
can get another dog, they said. They can get another dog.
That's something I've been really guilty about. So I'm sure my wife is, too. So that's good to know.
Wood, are you guilty about getting another dog after he's gone?
I think so. We have a little guy. So we were thinking, while the baby still is kind of can't get around, it'd be easier to get a dog now instead of waiting a few years. So
and training him.
Yeah, so. So we're actually planning on getting one within the next month just to kind of, while the baby's still
there. Oh, that's good. Yeah, he says that if you tickle your baby's feet, it will help your baby stretch his legs.
Okay.
That's interesting, isn't it? It's like he's having growing pains or something on, like, his, like, the top of his thighs by his hips.
Okay.
Like, I think, I can't tell if it's the left or the right, the baby. If you tickle
his feet. He's very long for his age, so he's pretty much outgrown everything at this point.
Oh, he has, so he would have growing pains there, huh? Because he's growing so fast. Aw. he keeps saying he'll try to come back to you, which is like he'll try and reincarnate back into another dog body so that you'll have him again. And sometimes that starts to happen, like his consciousness may not even know that that's happening behind the scenes. Like, there might be a higher power that's already put that in motion. And sometimes they have to leave us when they're so young because their body might be sick. Like, he might have had a sick body, like he said, since he was really little, and it'd be easier for you to mourn now than to mourn later.
Right.
So sometimes they check out sooner because of that, and it's nothing that you've done wrong. And sometimes they set it up so that you're away, so that the animal has an easier time leaving, because if you're close, sometimes they hold on too much. So usually all that stuff is divine. And if you loved your dog, you know, try not to feel really guilty. It's just, you know, it's the way it was meant to be.
All right.
Yeah. I'm sorry for your loss, though, but he's doing good.
Oh, well, thank you. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Thanks for calling
in. Peter.
Bye, Peter.
Oh, that's so sad. It's so true, though. Whenever I've heard a lot about when people go out of town and if they have a sick pet, that they do tend to pass away when you're away.
Yeah, because they don't hold on as much. But sometimes too, like the older dogs, if their routine changes, they kind of go into like this dementia state. Like, I remember when I would go away when Maya was older, and when I'd come back, she just wasn't as conscious. Like, it would take like a couple of days for her to like really kind of fall into the routine again and like be alert again. So hard to travel when you have old pets.
Yeah. So true. We have Pink Rose Seashell in the chat room is asking, why does my cat Gigi pee in the food dish?
Oh,
and
gosh.
She's 8 months and she has a unique look with a cross on her back. She's a tabby cat, black with caramel brown color.
Oh, she sounds pretty.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. To mark that it's mine. I have to mark that it's mine, otherwise Mom takes it away too soon. You probably take it away quicker after she pees on it. I like food left out for me all day. Pink Rose Seashell, do you leave food out all day?
Well, maybe, what would you suggest for someone who has this cat pee?
I have a question. What should we suggest for Gigi who pee? Well, the things I would like to know is, does Gigi have other animals in the home? Like, are there other cats in the home?
I see. Mm-hmm. So all these factors...
Yeah, because sometimes they're marking, and who knows what they're like. Maybe her mom taught her to do that, but I think let's tell her to pee only in the litter box. You know, let's tell her that's gross to pee in your food.
You know what? Pink Rose Seashell just wrote, "Yeah, I do, but we have many cats."
Oh, so she's marking it too from the other cats. So
yeah, that's probably what it is.
So what would be something that you could do with her is give her a place where only she can eat, if it's possible. Like, she has like her own little area, and maybe you can let her eat, and then you pick it up and you say, "This is your dish only." You know, if that's possible, and then maybe they can have a community dish as well, but one dish is just hers.
I see.
She says there's one cat that's always hitting her butt when she eats. Pee only in the litter box. It's gross to pee in your dish.
Yeah, that's gross. We got Anna. Are you still there, Anna, from Los Angeles?
I'm still here.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Anna.
How are you?
Good.
Good. We actually talked, I think, last year sometime about my cat, Beans. Peeing on the couch and on the bed.
Okay, did he stop?
No, she's still doing it. She doesn't have a UTI anymore, like urinary tract infection, but she's still peeing on the couch.
So she had a urinary tract infection, but she and then did she stop ever?
she stops for a while. I don't know, maybe it's because of the... Well, I went to Colorado, and she didn't pee on the couch at all. And my dog wasn't there. So I don't know if maybe she has issues with the dog. Or
so after she had the urinary tract infection, did she stop peeing?
No, she kept. She still pees. I don't know if she's doing it out of spite or not.
Okay. What does she look like again?
She's a calico tabby.
Okay. I don't do it out of spite. It just starts burning my thighs, and then I go.
Hmm.
Sometimes I do it because I don't like the dog there. When the dog is there, it makes me itch in my nose. Can I have my own blanket to sleep on the couch?
Yes.
So does the dog sleep on the couch too?
Well, all the animals sleep except the middle one. The middle cat doesn't sleep on there, but all the, you know, three animals sleep on the couch.
I don't want the dog to sleep on the couch. It looks like a big dog. Do you have a big dog?
No, she's small.
Oh. What does she look like?
She's a Dachshund Chihuahua. She's brown.
Oh.
Her name's Ella.
I saw, like, this big, like, a chocolate lab kind of dog, but maybe that's, like, to her, because she might have a big personality.
Yeah, I think she thinks she's a bigger dog.
That's funny. Can't she sleep in a donut bed, she said.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe you could put beds on the couch. Kind of a pain, but...
Well,
maybe she should just pee
beds.
Only in the litter box. These cats peeing outside the litter box, it's disgusting.
Well, I close the bedroom now so she doesn't pee in the bedroom. Like, I don't trust her because she still does it.
She says she wants a litter box behind a plant. Do you know where that is?
No.
In the corner by the window?
Well, there's one in the laundry room.
Is there a window there?
Yeah.
But no plant? Is there room for a plant?
No, not there.
It's a sunny window and I want a plant there in a litter box. It sounds like she wants another litter box somewhere.
Okay.
It might be like in the living room or something, but you don't want a litter box in the living room, right?
No, I don't, but I have been looking at those ones that look like a planter and then... You put the litter box inside of it, and there's a planter.
Oh, it looks like a planter?
Yeah, it's a planter, but there's a tree or some kind of plant.
Oh, that's what she's talking about then. She wants that. That's what she's talking about.
Okay.
That's funny.
And then
okay, then if you get that, she better stop peeing, right?
Yeah, I don't know, because I know when I've yelled at her, and she'll go over there and pee. So that's why I think it's behavioral.
She'll go over where and pee?
To the couch.
Oh. Yeah, don't yell at her. Talk to her. Did you even explain to her, like, when you sit down with her, like, really explain to her, like, pee smells really bad. And I know that you don't understand how bad it smells, but to humans, cat pee is very, very stinky. And when you pee, it stinks up the whole entire house. And
right.
It's very difficult to clean.
Right.
So... When you pee in your litter box, it makes me very, very happy.
Right.
She says she needs her own petting time.
Oh, my God. She's the most demanding cat of them all.
I want petting time in a corner. She wants you to sit with her in a corner and pet her only.
And I also had one quick question. I noticed there's a little lump on her hind leg. I don't know if it bothers her or not.
Oh.
I don't know if she feels ill because of it.
It pinches me a little bit.
Okay.
And it hurts when I lie on it. Huh. Remember also, though, she said that it stings her thigh when she pees. So there might be a couple of things going on.
Right.
Like she leaks a little bit and will sting her thigh. So I'd almost get her checked for a UTI again.
Okay. Well, she didn't like it last time.
She thinks she needs water out of a fountain.
They have a fountain. They have a fountain thing, but it's a different one.
Maybe. What do you mean? Is it a different one than she used to have?
The other one, this one, it kind of spouts up a little bit. So I don't know why she's complaining. Does she want her own?
I want one without slobber in it.
Oh. Stella.
She sounds like a queen.
She's very finicky.
Yeah, she is. That actually might be Minnie, too, talking.
Aw. So yeah. Cute. Well, thanks for calling in and let us know how she does.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Anna.
Bye.
That's really funny.
No, she's like got her list. That's probably because we've spoken to her before. She's like, okay, here we got this woman again.
Right,
I'm going to like tell her everything I want.
I know.
Like,
she's
some
like
of the
writing
ones that
out
are
a
used
list.
Some of them that are used talking to me, they're like, okay, get ready. And I can't type fast enough when they're talking to me because they've got all these demands.
That's so funny. We'll take one more call before we get to our guest calling. Tora from San Diego.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi.
What's your pet? Who's your pet?
My dog is Toby. He's black. I actually called like 2 weeks ago because I changed his food because he was itching and throwing up.
Oh, okay.
From the Evo to the, was it Journey? What is it?
I don't know.
No,
the
one
Origin?
That he really liked. Yeah, Origin. There you go.
Did he stop throwing up?
Yeah, he totally did. And he's still like a little itching, but I think it's from fleas. But he's definitely, everything else has gotten 10 times better.
Oh, that's so good to
Yay.
Hear.
Yay.
Yeah, I know. It was really great. I think he liked his food, too, because he'll eat it like right as I put it out. Like, it doesn't sit there very long or anything.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. And so the reason I'm calling was to check in on that. But I just recently moved. And I found a place that I thought would make my dog happy, but it also makes me happy. But it was mainly, we have a lot of parks, and there's, like, trails everywhere, and there's two dogs and two cats in the house already. Mm. And I just want to see if he's liking it or if there's anything I can do for him, because I love him so much, of course.
Okay, so there's two different animals, right? Is that right? Or there's just one?
No, there's only one. It's mine.
Okay,
and
okay.
In the house. There are four animals.
Okay, and so what does he look like again?
He is black. He's short. He's like a Schnauzer Maltese.
Oh, okay.
He's just black.
Okay. I feel better, and I feel like I can poop better, too. I still itch like a hot itch.
Oh.
But I feel much better. He says that he likes the home, but it's hard to get used to the other dog, but it will work out.
Oh, that's good.
The other dog is a little bit upset with me.
Oh.
He doesn't want me in his home. Is that true?
Well, he seems really friendly, like he wants to play, but one of them's kind of shy. I don't know if you're talking about that one.
Probably.
But the bigger one just wants to play and...
So it's probably the shy one. It's probably the shy one.
Yeah, it's the smaller one. But does he like the area, like the walks, or does he want, I don't know.
I love the walks. We could walk a little faster.
I don't think he'll keep up.
My knees feel better, he said. This is interesting.
Yeah.
They were hurting for a while.
You know, my knees hurt sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he might be picking up on that.
Maybe. Yeah, sometimes they mirror their people. So sometimes, like, his knees could hurt when your knees are hurting.
Yeah.
I think you should tell her she should take more showers. With smelly soap.
Oh, he likes the smelly soap?
Yeah.
He just like his bath, so.
That's funny.
I never heard of a dog who really, like, loved baths.
Well, he's saying his mom should take a bath and smell
like
soap.
Yeah, he likes the soap. Oh, I see.
Okay. I like baths, okay, he said.
Also the issue with like how often I should give him a bath, because I give him one, but I think he itches more after bath, so I tend to wait longer.
Oh, that's right. There's like a whole, I don't really know what it is, but it's true that some people say you can wash them too often because it takes the oils off their skin.
Yeah. Can you ask him how he feels about that?
He says, I love baths, so you can bathe me and then spray something cooling on me. I wonder what that is. I wonder what that would be.
Yeah.
Something cooling. Maybe go to the holistic pet store and see if they have anything that you'd spray that would be cooling.
Yeah, like a conditioner, maybe.
Yeah. Thanks for calling back.
Yeah, thanks for letting us know.
It's been very helpful.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Bye.
Thanks. God, I'm glad he's not throwing up anymore.
I know. That's huge.
That's a great thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just switched after that conversation that we had. We just switched Ripley to Origins, too.
Oh, that's good. And Ripley likes it?
Yeah, she loves it. She's been eating all her her cookies.
Oh, good.
Her foam cookies.
I got Luca on that Zeewee Peak now. It's like a air-dried raw.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, really good, but it's, like, so expensive.
Yeah,
like
I know.
$100 for, like, this little bag. I'm like, are you serious?
How much does that feed her for, like, how long?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to see. But he only gets 3 scoops of it a day, and I'm like, thank God you're not a wolf dog. Because it would cost me a fortune. You know, since he's so little, I'm like, oh, what's $100? It's going to last me a couple of months.
Right. Hold on. We got Ashley from San Diego. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi, Ashley.
Hi. I'm calling about my dog, Barkley. He's a shepherd mix. He's about 45 pounds, and he's a great dog, but the only time we ever have trouble with him is at Doggy Beach.
Oh.
He's for the most part, he's great, but he likes to mount dogs that are his size or larger.
Oh, is he neutered?
He is neutered. He's been neutered since he was 6 weeks.
Okay, that's a dominance behavior. So, like, they do that to show their dominance?
Uh-huh.
So, does he ever get submissive with another dog? Like, does he ever lick them or?
No, he doesn't.
And so what are the problems that you encounter from that? Like, are older dogs, like, going after him or some dogs, like, going after him when he does it?
Actually, in some ways, it doesn't really cause many problems. It's just it's kind of embarrassing, and other pet owners don't like it. And ideally the dog kind of nips back at him, and then he'll get off. But
if they nip back at him.
Yeah, it's just a kind of a 10-second thing that's nobody likes.
Right. So what we're going to do is, like, we can explain to him that we know that he's doing it because he's being more dominant, but it's overkill, and it's actually really upsetting people, and, like, his people and other people, and also that it can hurt other dogs, like dogs that have hip problems. Like, explain to him that some dogs can be in a lot of pain when he does that, and that they nip at him because he's hurting them. And sort of explain to him why it's not an okay behavior, because it's an instinctual behavior for him. He's just not thinking. He's just reacting.
Right.
So get him to think a little bit about what that behavior means and why he's doing that behavior, and see if we can redirect him to something else. And in the meanwhile, also, what you can do is sort of, like, if you notice, like, when the dog sort of, like, nip back at him, if you could sort of find something that's similar to that, that you can get him to get off quicker, you know, like, I use, like, a sharp hey, like a hey, like that, to kind of, like, mark it. But a whistle is too sweet.
My mouth whistle. It's too sweet, like, I need to.
It's too sweet. It's like you would use a whistle to come. You want something that's, like something that would say, hey, this is, like, completely inappropriate. And, like, you could whisper it. Like, you could, like, with my dogs, I could whisper, hey, and they would know that I was PO'd. you know, and, like, give him an evil eye. Like, an evil eye is, like, you might even be able to get him to get off just with giving him an evil eye. But start trying to notice, like, the dog that he does it on and see if you can start catching him before he makes the decision to actually jump up. Like,
right.
And start, like, saying, like, showing him, okay, this is how it feels. Like, at this moment, this is when you're feeling, like, jumping, and this is what we don't like. Can you please try and pick a different behavior?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of bring consciousness into the situation, because at this point, there's, like, no consciousness, I don't think. Well, let's ask
him. I agree, because he seems so alert and smart when we're at home, but when we get to the beach, it's like he's a dumb dog all of a sudden.
I'm going to tell him you said that, because he needs to know that that is how he's acting. And so I tell all animals that the smartest animals, including humans, are conscious of their behavior at every moment. They know what they're doing at every moment and why. And that's a really big deal. I mean, it's a hard thing to strive for, even for us humans. But it really gets them thinking, like, why are you doing this behavior, and is it really worth it? Like, people and other animals are not liking you. Do you really like not being liked?
Right.
So, okay, hold on. I know he heard that, so hold on. Let me see what he says. Of course I don't like not being liked. Sometimes I do it to get them to play with me. Sometimes if I scratch their back, it will start to get them to run and chase. I'm going to tell him that maybe they're running away from him. If I'm smart and conscious, does that mean that I can wear clothes and go to work?
Cute.
No, it means you're a smart and conscious dog that has predictable behavior. My mom and dad love it when I do it because they giggle. Do you giggle?
I don't know. We just mostly have a shocked look on our face, like, oh boy, how are we going to intervene here?
Okay. Tell him I'm sorry for being stupid. I'm going to tell him that you're going to give him the evil eye and stare him down the next time he does it. And he better get off, otherwise you're going to put him on leash.
Okay. And he'll go to the beach more if he...
Yeah. He says, then what do I do? I'm not supposed to jump in their face. So, like, part of it is, like, I don't know how to get them to play. How do I get dogs to play with me? Does he play well with other dogs when he's playing?
You know, he does really well chasing packs, and he doesn't, you know, he wants to play with their ball, but he really doesn't care about their ball. He knows that the other dogs seem to like it. And
oh, so he's not, but he doesn't play one-on-one?
He'll do chasing stuff, but I guess maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, he's a little socially, he's a little confused. You know what I would do is drop him off at doggy daycare once a week.
Like where he just has more time to socialize?
Yeah, where he just can play with other dogs all day long, and then he's going to start to realize, like, how to really play. Because it's not even really a dominance thing, like I said before. It's more like I'm trying to get the dog to play with me, and, like, isn't this an appropriate way to play? And it's not.
Right.
But
yeah.
It's just because he doesn't know. So I'd get him around more dogs, and dropping him off at doggy daycare is great because then you have somebody else do it for a really long period of time, you know, and
right.
The other, he'll come across so many other dogs that he'll realize, like, he'll just start to learn how to get another dog to play. And he'll have some dogs really scold him for doing that, which is okay.
And sometimes we wonder if maybe he's also being a little protective of us when we're at the beach, because it's like the closer the dog is to us, the more likely he's going to mount it. So maybe doggy daycare is good because we're not there.
Yeah, but I'm... No, it's just that I want to run with them.
Okay.
But it's interesting, because maybe that's the unconscious element of it. Like, it's his instincts are are, like, he is being a little bit protective and being dominant when you guys are, when other dogs get close, but he's not conscious of that. But you guys have to get on it. Like, I would start really giving him the evil eye and start making him be smart at the beach, start giving him his commands there. Like, make him sit and make him do down and make him do stay and make him wait and make him, like, walk on a leash for a little while and know that right now when you go to the beach, it is a training session. You know, it's not just a fun walk on the beach. It's a training session.
Yeah,
we need to remind him that he's there with us, not just playing by himself, like, with all the dogs.
Yeah, to come back to you, but also remind him to think. Like, and what's really good is, like, when, and I do it with Luca, even, my little poodle, with all puppies you need, all dogs. Like, when they go, like, remember how your my mom used to say to us, and my dad, it's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt. And it's like, they play and they play and they play, and then they become, like, completely unconscious, you know, and you just, like, are in this, like, wild play. Whenever you start seeing that wild play, they need to have a timeout, and they need to, like, be grounded again, start thinking about what they're doing again, and then let them go play again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah, let us know what happens.
Yeah, let us know what happens.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Yeah, keep us posted. Okay, thanks. We got our guest, Hannah.
Right.
Hi.
Hi, Hannah.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. So, Hannah, I heard this. I think Nancy sent me an email, and she had said something about you helping to stop gassing of dogs. Is that true?
True. A colleague of mine, Shambly Abernathy in Decatur, Georgia, and I tried for a couple of years, along with a small team of others in Georgia, to get legislation passed to ban the gas chamber. And the first 2 years, we were unsuccessful. By the third year, we had picked up some more team members and had become a lot smarter about how to get a bill passed. And Shambly and I conducted a survey in 2007 of every tax-funded open admission shelter in Georgia to see if we could get some numbers, because there is no comprehensive, accurate database of what goes to shelters and what comes out, how many are killed, et cetera, in Georgia. And I presume there's not in a lot of states. So we figured if we went back the third year and we had some data in hand, and those data showed that Georgia is killing a tremendous number of animals unnecessarily, that maybe that would help with our cause. And I think what helped most with our cause in the third year is that we had picked up some really strong board members, and one of them hired us a lobbyist. And we did. It was a, I mean, it was like a touch-and-go, knock-down, drag-out fight to the very last hour of the legislative session. But we did, in fact, get a ban effective December the 11th of that year. And as of January of 2010, gas chambers to kill unwanted animals are illegal in Georgia.
Oh, that is so amazing. Congratulations.
You know, it was really good. And you probably know that Alabama also just got a ban effected. And I don't know if you're familiar with Laura Allen's website, Animal Law Coalition. But
no.
A lot of good work on the chamber issue, as well as a number of, well, really any animal advocacy issue. She's very knowledgeable, and she's been following this, and she can give you stats on how many states still gas and when the gassing bans were passed, et cetera. We wish it was a federal ban, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. One of our colleagues in Pennsylvania has attempted to do that, but so far he's not been successful.
Wow, that would be amazing. So now tell us about a little bit about that organization that you are a part of now.
HEART, Humane Animal Research Team. I'm a part of that. I'm also a board member of the Humane Society of South Coastal Georgia in Brunswick. I live in Darien, which is a small fishing village, really, 17 miles north of Brunswick. And I started a group here in 1993 called HEART, Humane Animal Resource Team. And I have, for a number of years, due to various factors, including my career, I was not active with HEART, but when I came back to Darien and retired, I have resumed my activity with them and very heavily immersed in the work of HART, and we're doing a lot of really great things. We have a small shelter, about 20 runs, but it's high kill. We started a pet finder site, and we started transporting, and we started doing off-site adoptions, and we've moved over 300 animals in the last 18 months with all those.
Oh, wow.
And it's great. And, of course, the Humane Society is in a different area. There's a lot more money. The tax base is stronger. And we're about to open the doors of a $2.2 million facility with 100 runs and accommodations for 100 cats. And we are no-kill. But, of course, you all understand what that means. It means we're turning anywhere from 15 to 30 days away, and they're having to go down the street to an open admission shelter or get chained up in somebody's backyard or dumped on a back road. So it's, you know, but at least we know that we can responsibly care for so many animals, and we do. And we have really great staff in place, and I feel like this is the year the Humane Society is really going to come into its own.
Good. So tell us about Queen Deanie. Is it Deanie?
Yes, and I'm sitting here looking at her right now, Queen Deanie. She's a little black pit. I say little. She probably weighs close to 50 pounds now. And December the 20th, a year ago, I got a call from an elderly friend of mine in the county, just hysterical. She had seen Deanie in the woods, emaciated, mangy, had had puppies, and starving to death. And she said, I just don't know what to do. Her name happened to be Deanie Crook. She's 75 years old. And I said, well, Deanie, what do you want me to do? I cannot take the dog. I have 8 other dogs. And if you call the pound, if they go and get her, they'll immediately kill her because she's a little black pit and she's in terrible shape. But I said, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't leave her there to starve to death. I would give her some food. So I went to choir practice that Saturday, and it so happens that one of the choir members has a small grooming shop. And she said, Hannah, if you want to go get the dog, I'll let her stay in one of my empty runs until you can figure out what to do with her. Fast forward about 2 or 3 months later, and we had her spayed, got her mange under control, tested her for heartworms, and of course she was high positive. And long story short, I was ultimately faced. I had nowhere else to take her, so I brought her home. And she's been with February a year ago. She is.
So let's get to talk to her because I know we're getting kind of limited on time now. So so what should we ask her? You want to ask her, you wrote some questions here about does she feel sad or isolated in her kennel, or does she feel like it's a good place for her?
Right.
And then also about can she be integrated into your house and not left after the cats?
She would definitely kill a cat, I know.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let's see.
Now, I'm looking at her. Would it help if I go and sit next to her?
No, you don't need to. You don't need to. She says she wants to tell you that she loves you.
I know that.
I'm really grateful that I have a good home. And I feel safe, and that's a really important thing. I would like more exercise. Can I run alongside a bike? I was wondering if I could find another home. I would like a home with somebody who knows pit bulls. I'd like a home with somebody who's smart. I don't like cats. They look like rodents. My puppies died. And then they got eaten. I don't know if she would have eaten them. They were bad. They were sick. I like big cushiony beds. I'm really proud I live with her. If I could have my own person and live inside, I would like that.
You know what? We're running right out of time, so we're going to have to post some of her answers on the website at thepetpsychic.com. You can hear more about Queen Beanie, who's a Staffordshire Terrier, and the Heart Macintosh organization. That's heartofmacintosh.org, spelled HeartOfMacintosh.org.
Right.
And you guys have pictures of Queen Beanie there?
Yeah, we sure do. We have them also on thepetpsychic.com.
Great. Well, thank you all for listening. And we'll see you next Thursday.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, Hannah.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
So I don't know what's going on with my studio, but I can't play the
song. I think we're still live now.
I guess we are. So thank you, everyone, for listening to us. And it's thepetpsychic.com. That's thepetpsychic.com. Check us out. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.